Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
We are live. All right, everybody, welcome to episode number 102 of Sports Cars Live. It is Saturday night, June the 19th. My name is Jeremy Lee. And before we get to tonight's episode, I do want to thank last Saturday's guest. Oh, I forgot to do the intro video. I forgot the intro video, Amit. Can we do it now? Let's do it. We're going to do the intro video, guys, and then we're going to come back. We're going to do the intro video. Here we go.
Sports cards is a lifestyle. Sports cards and we live now.
Jeremy Lee in the building and every guest that you ever needed. Sports cards after hours keep the hobby heated. Updates, hobby talk like you never seen it. Sports cards live and none could ever beat it.
Sports cards is a lifestyle. Sports cards and we live now.
Welcome to another episode of Sports Cards Live with your host, Jeremy Lee.
Okay, here we go. Now we can do a restart here, everybody. Welcome again. Sports Cards Live, episode 102. It is June the 19th, 2021. You know my name is Jeremy Lee, and we do have Amit Acharya, who will be joining us in just a couple of seconds. Before we get to it, I do want to thank last Saturday's guest, Christina Thorson. She is from Card Ladder. We had a great episode. It was Ladies Night, followed up on After Hours by Sam Shuford from Women of the Hobby. Another excellent episode with her. Want to let everybody know, this coming Friday will be, I believe, the fifth installment of the PWCC auction ending on eBay watch party, the hockey auctions. Having a lot of fun with those. I know a lot of you out there are enjoying those shows, so please join us for that on Friday. And then the next night, next Saturday, our guest will be none other than Josh Luber. He is the founder of StockX. He will be with us next Saturday night. Tonight, though, no after hours, guys. No after hours. I need a break. We streamed all day today on the Virtual Expo, and we are streaming all day again tomorrow on the Virtual Expo. So no after hours tonight. Shoutouts. We are on our way now to 3,200 subscribers. I can't believe it. Thank you to each and every one of you. If you are not yet subscribed to the channel, please go ahead and do so. I want to shout out all the podcast listeners. I know you guys are out there. Thank you for your loyalty and for continuing to listen to the show. I also want to shout out the Big Three Hockey. My guys are awesome. They are great supporters of the show. Give them a follow on Instagram. And I want to shout out the Virtual Expo, where we spent the day today. Had a great time. And that's what this episode is about. We're going to really revisit that whole thing today with Amit. Let's bring him out. Amit, there you are. Get ready. Welcome to the show, buddy. How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. So before we jump in and we really debrief our day at the Virtual Expo and talk about, you know, how it went, the deals we did, the people we saw, we are going to say hello to the chat. We've got a whole bunch of people here already. We got Maslosopher, never seen you before, I don't think. Go Bucks and welcome to the show. Glad to have you. Global is back. Good day there to you, my man. We got Troy. Hello, hello. We got B. Roy back. Good evening, B. Roy. Global says that intro is the bomb. That's why I had to reverse and play that because, you know, you have it, you have to use it, right? We got Charles from Card Canucks. Good evening, Charles. Troy says, hello. Hello, fellow sports card collectors. Hello, lads. Anonymous Facebook user. We got Frank Estella in the house. Good evening, Frank. Great to see you. Dennis Lescombe, good evening to you as always. Lots of people here, Amit. Lots of people. We got Ian Undercover. Good evening to you. Michael Hamm is back. Michael, good evening. Thank you, Troy. Much appreciated. One of one from Australia. How awesome is that, Amit? We got people from the other side of this planet. Foul Five Ball, good evening, David G. Brian Palmer, we did a deal today. Good evening, Brian. We got Toa in the house. Good evening, Toa. We got Eric Sanderson to Auras here. Barry Ma from ComC, my man, Barry, good evening to you. Al G is there. Good evening, Al. We got Victor, the recently rebranded but still rookie card specialist, is with us. Good evening, Victor. Kelly Winters, hello. Josh Packham. We got Dave Slipka in the house. Good evening, Dave. Wow, we got lots of y'all. We got Rocco Rosado is back. Hello, Rocco. Looking forward to the recap. Missed the expo at your grandson's ballgame. Well, good day to you, Rocco. Good to see you. We got Gia Maz in the house. Josh Glover. We did a deal today, too. Todd McDonald, Super Striker. Jeff McMahon, the sports card seller. Lapper in the house. Aaron, we did a deal today as well. Paul, we did a deal today. Hey, everyone's here. Everyone's here. We're welcoming Australia. Slow Pitch Fanatic is here. Hammer 66. Wow, happy we are that this is hopefully the last virtual expo. That's an interesting comment right there. Is it the last virtual expo or will the virtual expo continue once the real expo comes back? That's a great question. Something we're talking about. Yannick, good evening to you, Yannick, sir. Ryan O'Hara is here. Richard Turner, good evening. Hockey guy is there. We got him. There he is. Michael Hamm, I appreciate that. It reminds everybody, hit that like button, guys. I appreciate it. Subscribe if you haven't yet. Sam, we did a deal today. Good evening. Chris Carter, we did a deal today. Good evening to you. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I've been doing a lot of talking today. How about you, Amit? Did you do a lot of talking today?
Oh, yeah. Like, my voice is sore. I've been sitting in this chair. I'm a little sore from that. I need to get up. I need to do like you, get up on a Peloton for like an hour.
I didn't do the Peloton today, but I did it yesterday knowing, and I didn't feel like it because I was working all day and then I had to get ready for the show, but I squeezed it in the middle knowing that it was going to be a rough, not a rough, but a couple of days of not much movement. So I got it in last night before, actually just before supper. So, okay, let's jump into it, Amit. I mean, I went into the show this weekend feeling unprepared compared to the first two. The first two, I felt much more prepared. What I mean by that is that I have a lot of inventory that I didn't scan and put in my Dropbox and price and all that. It's just been, time's been at a premium lately. So, but what I did do was I had a bunch of stuff from before. I did have some new stuff. I put it in. So I went into the show thinking that, you know what, I might not sell too many cards. But I was pleasantly surprised. I actually had a pretty good show today. I did, what did I tell you? 11 deals, but some of them were multi-card deals. And they, you know, I was very pleasantly surprised. How from a deal flow perspective, based on your expectations to what happened, how did that go for you?
It went way beyond that, what I was expecting. I thought it would be, you know, similar to last show, but way busier. I did 17 deals. I can't remember what I did last show. I'm not as meticulous as you are when it comes to note-taking, but I remember being around less than that at the first day. But yeah, 17 deals and some deals as small as one card and some with 10 to 20 cards. So overall, it was beyond my wildest expectations. I did over-prepare for this. So I did spend, I scanned probably, I want to say 3,500 to 4,000 cards and priced them all. Yes, I went through a lot of stickers and a lot of price gun materials to do that. But I think the effort paid off in my end because people were happy to see that it was, you know, low-end, high-end, mid-range, all sports. So I did do the homework, so it worked out.
Yeah, and you were prepared well in advance. You had a ton of cards scanned. You had them shared in a Google Drive. Yeah. You had your link ready to go. I followed your lead. I had it pinned to the top of my booth chat, but I also had it at the top of my booth, which is something we should talk about because that was a really great improvement on version 3 of the virtual this time versus the first two where the platform hop-in actually opened up a whole section below the screen now where people could scroll and you could put in links to videos, you could put in text, you could, you know, a description, links to your social media accounts and that sort of thing. And I saw one of the booths, I forget who it was, but they had like pictures of product with prices. And so what do they call the Expo? They set up against the far wall with all the wax, those guys.
Grizzly,
that was their booth. They had a pretty good setup going. If you spent the time to set up this booth, you could have done some great things. I feel like now I wasn't set up to the full extent possible, but and I really didn't do some of it till late last night after talking to you, where I went in and I filled out that bottom part. It didn't come that obvious to me, but got that done. And so I thought the booth was much better this time than last time. Plus, when somebody wanted to come on the screen with you, you didn't actually have to admit them. They just hit the share video and audio, and then they appeared on your screen, which allowed us as vendors to not have to pay attention to that, which was great, because otherwise you could leave someone down there and forget to look, and they might get offended that you didn't invite them up onto the screen with you. So that was pretty cool. I thought that was a nice touch this time. Let's go. I want to bring up Chris Carter, who I know is a setup as well. He says, let's just go up. He says, hey, it's Chris. Hi, Chris. Jeremy, I did some cards from you. Amit sending you Insta offers now. He goes on to say, but as a booth seller, I found it not that great today, unfortunately. And, you know, I'm sorry to hear that, Chris. I wonder, I think it comes down to how you're set up. And I heard it again today. Doug Lothers came in and he said that he said it last time too, that you and I had the best navigation for patrons to look at what we had available. And it's not that hard to do. So no. I don't know why or if other people did it, but they just didn't have what people wanted. I don't know why. You know, Chris, I know, has a great selection of cards, Chris Carter. So I'm wondering what was the friction between customers and sales that, where he was a little bit disappointed with how it went for him today. Sam says, I'm still waiting. Sorry, go ahead.
I wonder if it's a case of where you set your expectations versus where you're netting out to be. That's one aspect of it. Two is how much preparation in advance did you, I'm saying this without looking at your booth, so don't take it with a grain of salt. You know, maybe actually share your booth name on here and tomorrow we can actually take a look and Jeremy and I have the time to pop in. We'll just see real quick and maybe, you know, pass on some advice. But I do think it's about preparing as best as you can and thinking like a customer.
And I think it's, you know, even when you go to a real card show, I don't want to say that the virtual isn't real because it's a real one. It's just a virtual real one. Yeah. But even when you go to a physical in-person card show, you need to prepare ahead of time. And if you have your cards priced and you have them organized by whatever team, player, you know, year, set, however you do it, and you have them accessible to the customers, I think you're, you know, by having lots of showcases or boxes that people can flip through, I think you're going to, it's going to pay dividends to be prepared, just like anything in life. The more prepared you are, the more successful you will be. And again, that's not a comment to Chris or anybody else, because I'm not sure how their booths were set up. I really didn't get away from mine too much today. But let's see. He goes on to say, congrats, guys. I had only a few people come through, less than 50. And those that did not communicate at all. I only did 3 deals. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, Chris, because I know you got a lot of great cards. And I think part of the advantage I think I must have is that people know who I am through Sports Cards Live. And so they come check it out. That's got to be a bit of it. Amit's got his show, Cardboard Culture. You know, he's got a following too. So that might give us an advantage. Maybe to be successful at a virtual expo, you need to have a YouTube channel and kind of double up your penetration to a degree.
The other angle to it is, well, you and I are very social animals, right? So when we've been doing this for 30 some odd years, we network quite well. Like I know a fair amount of people, you know, a fair amount of people and our circles don't collide that often. So you think about how diverse our spheres are, right? So I think Chris, again, I'm saying this without knowing you, so don't take it as an insult or anything. Maybe it's just working on the networking piece. Again, let us know what booth you're at, and we can definitely pass around some knowledge and help and wherever possible. And there are people in the chat that have also been to the expo as well, and they can pass along their virtue as well.
Well, I can tell you, but one thing I know about Chris Carter is that he can talk. He can talk because he's on Clubhouse. Good. Yeah, he's on Clubhouse all the time. He's holding court on Clubhouse. He's well respected on Clubhouse. A lot of people, you know, he's on there all the time. So, and he's made a lot of friends on there. So, I think one of the things though is you have to be talking. If there's no one on your screen with you, kind of yeah. socializing with you, you have to be talking. And also the other thing is that if you're on your screen by yourself, other people might come in and maybe, I don't know, I'm just speculating, maybe they feel a little bit awkward to be the only person there. So it might help to have a partner or somebody on with you. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just a buddy or your girlfriend or your son or whomever, you know.
The very first expo I did it by myself, and I had to force myself to talk through like a one-way glass. It's like, hey, I know there's 18 of you out there. I'm not going to hurt you. Come on screen. And people did come. But this show, Jeremy, is our third one. We knew a lot of people. So people were there at the beginning. Like there were people, yeah. Let's go on the booth. So we have that advantage too.
That's true. So what Josh says, I spent about an hour looking and peeking around today. And again, you two hit it out of the park again, as far as being prepared compared to everyone else. So that's some feedback right there. B. Roy says, I spent forever going through Amit's cards. Troy says 3,500 scanned cards. That's a lot of work. Yeah, that sure is. We got Joe Sakic. Alex says, didn't make it this time around, didn't sign up so that I wouldn't be tempted to spend money. Hey, fair. You know, if you're budgeting, you got to be careful. Super Striker says, any soccer people have any high-end De Bruyne, not graded stuff? Howdy, Facebook user. Oh, here in chat. Yeah, there's my guy, Joe Perot from Santa Cruz. Love me some culture with a meat. There you go. There you go. Chris says, I could have been interviewing Wayne Gretzky himself, but if nobody comes in, it makes no difference. Well, here's the thing. You don't know how many people you actually had, Chris, because all you see is an eyeball count. And that could be stuck at five the whole day. And that could be the same five people that are watching you. They're just peeping Tomming you for the whole day. Or it's people coming and going. And yes. That number is a whole bunch of different people. So when you say 50 unique, I don't know how you know that, because I don't know how many unique people I had, unless you got that stat from the show itself, which is yeah. possible for sure. Brad says, for us newcomers, what is the virtual expo? How do we find out about the next one? Just found this podcast 2 weeks ago. Well, Brad 31, welcome to this podcast. Glad to see you. How do you find out about it? Well, Facebook, Instagram, this channel, Amit's channel on YouTube, vendors that are setting up at it. We're talking about it. I've been talking about it for, I don't know, at least a month, maybe six mm-hmm. weeks leading up to it. But Instagram's a great place really to keep up with hobby content, I would say. So, but what it is, it's the Sport Card Expo is the second largest show in the world behind the National. It happens twice a year in April and November on location in Toronto near the airport. And it's an awesome card show, but with the pandemic, Steve Menzi, the owner, started the virtual expo in its place. And this was the third time it's been done. It was last June, last November, and now this June. And it's online out of the comfort of your own house. And that's what we're talking about. So come by tomorrow, sportcardexpo.com. I'll put that on the ticker shortly here. It's free registration, and come hang out. Come meet us. Yep. Love to see you. Here's a message to vendors. My message to vendors. Copy Jeremy and or Amit. So, and I copied Amit this time for a lot of my booth build out. So we said it all through the second expo too. We had successful virtual. Yeah. So look at what we're doing. Now it might not work for everybody, but you, Amit, I probably had 400 cards and you had 10 times that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you have a million cards, don't think you're going to be able to display a million cards. You have to pick out the ones you want to do and just be prepared with those.
I'd also say the virtual expo prep is very different than an in-show prep, because if you think about it from a real estate perspective, you've got to figure out what's going to fit in those display cases, right? Versus the virtual where you can show everyone everything. I'll tell you this. I will never do without the virtual from now on. There'll always be a virtual aspect of every single one of my shows. When even when the expos open up, I'll still have a virtual component. I'll share that closer to when we do the actual expo, what I'll do there. But I will always have a virtual expo component.
So what you're saying is, no matter if you're at the actual expo or you're not, you're going to always have sort of your Google Docs yep. with all the pictures and a link. Basically, it's a link to virtual images. So to Brad, I think it was Brad 31 there. Was it Brad? Yep.
I believe there's so, the, yes.
There's the website right there, sportcardexpo.com. Check it out. And we'll hopefully see you there tomorrow. Yeah, Chris gives some other good advice here. He says, make a link that goes to all your scans. That's what we're talking about here. We have our scans. I use Dropbox. Amit uses Google.
Yep.
Lapper jumps in and says, I hope there is always a place for virtual expos. Very convenient and lower time commitment, right? And lower travel requirements, yep. right? Not everybody is, you know, let's face it. Not everybody is physically able, financially able, or geographically able to get to the any card show, never mind just the Sport Card Expo. So what Steve is building here is a platform for, I don't know if you can hear my baby monitor here, that's my kid. What Steve is building here is a baby monitor. What Steve is building here is a platform for what may or may not stick after the real expo comes. I don't know. I'm not sure if it is something that will be, if the virtual expo will happen once the regular in-person expo in Toronto gets back on its normal calendar of every November and every May. What do you think, Amit?
I agree. I mean, I think whether the platform lives or died, I think he's still found elements to it to accentuate the actual physical expo. So there's definitely advantages there. I can think of a whole bunch of things he can do, like virtual pipe in of television feeds or video feeds of athletes or whatever it may have you, that kind of thing. There'll always be a virtual component of it. The advantage of the virtual component, which you didn't mention as one of your key features, is there's also the psychosocial aspect of it. Not everyone is comfortable going out into large settings and talking to people or even dealing. So some people find comfort in just, you know, being behind their keyboard and talking. It's like the keyboard warrior, so to speak. So I'd see for that reason, and especially with COVID, people are more accustomed now to doing things online. So I think there's that aspect of it as well.
Good point. We're way behind in the comments here. There's been a lot, but I just want to bring up Chris's comment here. He says, when people come to the booths to look at your cards and see what you have, use the Steve Jobs principle when it comes to computer stuff. Less clicks the person has to do, the better. Very fair. David G says, is it proper etiquette to negotiate during a virtual expo? Well, I did a negotiation with somebody in front of 20 yeah. people that were peering into the booth today. I think it's fair etiquette. Why not? You know, but the thing is that the platform actually offers private chat between vendor and patron to do the negotiating there, which I did plenty of today. So definitely, yeah. I definitely think it is. There's Chris Carter's booth, guys. If you come to the virtual expo tomorrow, be sure to check out his booth, Cards and Clothes and Memes. I can tell you he's got a lot of great cards. So go visit with him and let's get some traffic to Chris's booth tomorrow and let's get him some business here. The guy, I know he's got lots of great cards. So let's get out there. He says, this time I priced out most of my cards in advance and it took many, many hours. For sure. It's going to take time. That's the way it goes. He says, I didn't have Dropbox, but again, I had so few people come. You don't know that, Chris, because if you would have had a link, people might have clicked it. You wouldn't have known they were there. They would have been in your link. So,
and the one advantage of having a Google Drive is every time someone goes to the link, I get a notification. Oh, so I know that people are looking.
That's cool. That's cool. Seb says, now that the real local and big expos are coming back everywhere, do you think there will be another? Well, okay, I'm a little behind on the comments. We've discussed that. Chris says, well, tomorrow I'm giving away surprise cards to people who come in. It's going to be random and bonus, but hopefully it will encourage people to come in. Well, and now we just told 97 people that, Chris. So hopefully that those people, everybody does come. Guys,
yes.
Come to the expo tomorrow and let's get Chris some action here. Let's get Chris some action. Facebook user says, booths have to have cards and prices I can browse through. Of course. Is this still going on at all? It is going on tomorrow. Tomorrow's day 2 of the virtual expo, James. Josh Glover, who hung out with me today, says, Jeremy, you're right about being known. My time was limited today. I made a point to drop in on both of you as I know you. Same as hitting those tables in person when you go to a show. Fair, fair, fair. Chris says, so yeah, free cards are being given away tomorrow at Cards and Clothes. There you go, guys. Free cards at Cards and Clothes tomorrow. Oh, we got Ken from Pastime says, virtual is much different. Maybe not better or worse, just different. Both have pros and cons. Very fair comment. Chris says, you can see the names of people who are in your booth next to the chat button on your booth. Oh, so you were actually like counting them. That's cool. All right, very cool. We got Mike in the house. All-Star says, 3,500 scans makes me appreciate all the work ComC does for me. Fair comment. Mike's got one of the biggest ComC stores there is. Yep. And then Chris says, despite all this, it's still a great time. I bought some awesome cards. I'm glad a few buyers are happy with my cards. That's nice, Chris. Yeah, I got right here the cards that that we did a deal on. And I'm going to show all the cards that I moved today without really divulging who bought them. But I do want to show the cards. Colin, yeah, the Expo is the biggest hockey card show in the world. But the nice thing about Expo is that, you know, it's in Toronto. You've got baseball. You've got basketball. And trust me when I say at the Expo in November, there's going to be more basketball there than you've ever seen before. It's going to, I don't know, I'm not saying it'll rival hockey, but it's going to give it a bit of a run for its money. What do you think of me?
It's already been doing that, actually, even before COVID. Those last few expos, baseball was definitely taking center stage. So was football and soccer. So it was already coming. So now it'll be exacerbated. I would almost hedge to say, I would almost want to say it's going to be a good 50-50 split.
That's really high for basketball. And then you got baseball too, right? With Junior there, Guerrero Junior. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be more spread out. It's not going to be 90% hockey. It's going to be more like probably maybe 50 and then 50 split between baseball, basketball, because all the hockey guys, not all, many of the hockey guys that I know, they're spreading their wings. They're into they're enjoying some of these other, they're enjoying basketball more than they are hockey. Same with baseball. So hello, Chad Shipper. Good evening. We'll see you tomorrow. Will Bennett, good evening to you. Alex says, speaking only from the first two virtuals that I attended, you guys had the right formula. If it's the third expo and people aren't adapting, that failure is on them. And we had some new vendors this time, I noticed. Yeah. And I think we had some that didn't come out again. So the guys that didn't just, you know, I don't know. They don't see the value, but I think they didn't see the value because they don't have the formula. So well said by Alex there. Chris goes on to say, if you don't want to scan everything, scan what represents the type of stuff you have. That's a good advice. We got Name in the house. Good evening, Name. I like to get through the comments. We got a bunch more, so I'm going to hold off on them for a second. And let's talk about one of the new features, guys. This is really cool, actually. This is something that Steve conceived. Steve Menzies, again, owner of Expo, came up with this idea to add some value for both the patrons and the vendors. And, you know, it's a real flexible platform because you've got the booths themselves, but then you've got, like, these stages. You got the main stage. And the main stage is something that, you know, it's like think about a real card show. At the back of the room, there's a main stage and everyone can just walk up and watch it. Well, that's what this was. And a concept called Slab Fest, which the original idea, I think, was for, okay, if you have a booth at the show, you're going to get a slot during Slab Fest, which I believe it was 1 hour long. And you got 5 minutes on the stage, basically right here as you see me. And then in the window beside me was my logo, my contact information, and a timer ticking down from 5 minutes. And I kicked it off. I had the very first Slab Fest slot session of all time. So that was pretty cool. And I basically sat there and I had two boxes of graded cards and I just showed them off and I said, here's what this is, here's what that is. I didn't quote prices, just showing what I had and said, hey, these are going to be at my booth. Come out and come by later to the booth and you can see what you want to buy or not, whatever you want to do. But I had so much fun with it, Amit, because I'm watching the clock go down and it went down a lot. It went by a lot faster than I thought. You know, at first they were supposed to be 3 minute sessions. I thought that's plenty of time. Right.
Yeah.
Then they made it 5 minutes and I'm like, next thing I know, I've got 90 seconds left and I'm racing. And at the very end, I forget his name, Spencer, I think.
Yeah.
left me on. He didn't take me down after the clock ticked out. So I'm like, oh, and here's some more cards. Here's more cards. And I was showing more cards. And I just had a lot of fun with it. And then I watched the guy after me. He had a lot of fun with it. How was your Slabfest session?
Mine was fun. I was expecting 3 minutes. They gave me 5 minutes. And then the shot clock broke. And then I got an extra minute and a half. But I was trying to time myself. But once the shot clock broke, I lost all track of where I was going with it. I was trying my best to keep the card slow, letting the camera, you know, zoom in on it. And I tried to do a good all-around spiel of what we're doing. But, yeah, when the shot clock broke, I was kind of like, okay. I did find the first couple of people I went after, or sorry, not went after, who came before me, were really energetic, really loud. I think it was Mint, I can't remember. They were on before Mint me. And they're really, yeah, they're really energetic. And I'm like, oh, great. Here, yay me. And going right after them. But I was fine.
I was going to say, they actually had the session after me. So they saw what I did. And then he came on. He goes, wow, Jeremy rocked it. All right, let's go. And he kind of flowed with from my
page. Oh, yeah. He amped it up. And he was excitable, amped up. And I was like, oh, great. Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna end it this way? So I did my best on that one. It was fine. I will say the comical part of it was, you know, a lot of people who were showing before me had some big guns, like here's 3,000, 4,000. So I decided to, because I don't have that kind of stuff left, I'm like, here's my $100, $200 affordable slab. So it was fun. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to Eric's comment here. He says, are cards being sold only grails costing hundreds and thousands, or are there $20 cards too? Well, I can tell you, my deals were more in the hundreds, but I did a deal for $20. I did a deal for $30 and maybe one for $80. And then everything else was higher. But Amit, you had lots of cards priced $20 and under, correct?
Yes, I had a whole whack of $2 and under cards. Like I said, I didn't discern what I was going to not scan and scan for the show. My smallest sale was $20. My largest sale was in the many hundreds. But yeah, I had everything scanned. So I didn't want to hear from last show where people saying, oh, I only saw high end. But no, I wanted to be that one guy that had a mix of everything. So it worked today, actually beautifully.
Yeah, fair. Lapper makes a good comment here. You know, with the technology, how it also brings the ability to meet people, networking, relationship building to the hobby. For sure. Like, I had people hanging in the booth with me pretty much all day. And I'm familiar with, I think, all those people, but they built relationships between them today, or they solidified those relationships more so than they otherwise would have. So I think that's a big part of it. And even though I went in expecting to do no sales, and I was totally okay with that. I was just looking forward to hanging out. So, and if no one was in my booth, I would have been in other booths, right? Hanging out over there, probably in a meets booth or what?
The one thing I'm laughing because I'm actually doing a deal on text message while I'm talking to you from the expo. And the one comical thing I would say with this was, because of the relationships you and I have built with people we know through Instagram, Facebook, text message, email, I'm talking to people all over the place. So if I was at the expo, it wasn't just a chat window. I had text messages going, phone calls. It was it's like those old school movies with the multiple phones. It felt like that. So the technology, and it brings up this point. You get to connect with people fast.
It's true, man. Every time I did a deal, I wrote down the person's name, what they bought, how much the deal was for, their address, how they paid me. But most importantly, where was I communicating with them, right? Mm-hmm. Was it Facebook Messenger? Was it Instagram private messaging? Was it the booth chat? Was it email? Was it text? Because otherwise, it's like, hard to find these conversations later on, to find an address if you can't read it or whatever it is. So I like this. Mike says, not to mention no pepperoni smell, which is true. No pepperoni breath walking by you out when you're doing the virtual show, for sure. Far less pepperoni smell. Oh, he said it twice. Yep.
Yeah, you missed that though, Mike. You know you missed that. It's been so long. You almost want to smell it. I just know it.
Colin says, it is great. Prior to the expo, Slabfest was great, a preview to what I have available. I think what he's saying is, it is great prior to the expo is that maybe I'll ask you to correct me or clear it up for me, Colin, but when you say it is great prior to the expo, do you mean like having a virtual preview? Because there's a kind of a good idea, yeah. A virtual preview to the upcoming expo. That's pretty cool. There we go, Chris. You're going to get adventures. You're going to get Troy coming by your booth tomorrow. Chris Dornick says, as convenient as a virtual is, there's nothing better than face-to-face contact. Also, I could not get my audio working today. Yeah, I know people that were on their phones were having audio issues. Also, you want to use Google Chrome. But as far as better than face-to-face, not everybody can do it. That's the thing, right? Of course, face-to-face and in-person is always more fun. It's just not accessible for everybody. So that's why I think there's always going to be a place for the virtual expo. Terry says, I popped into Chris's booth, but when he's talking and searching for basketball cards for someone, I was out of there because he didn't. Yeah, if you didn't have stuff scanned, if you have your booth and you're the way you're going to handle your booth is people are going to come in, they're going to say, do you have any Bol Bol cards? And you have to go find them behind you physically and then show them to them on screen. That's not a good, that is not the formula for a virtual expo. But I don't know if that's what it was like, but if for people that are doing it that way, it's not going to work.
It's the same thing as when people come to your booth at the real expo and you don't have prices on your cards. Same logic. They don't want to stick around.
For sure. For sure. Bobby Burrell, good evening to you. Bobby was hanging out with both of us today at the show, which was great. Lightning, two quick goals. Game on. That's good because I went heavy on the Lightning in my Sports Kings tonight. Joe, my guy, says, great to have a precursor to Chicago. Early thoughts on the national trends, interests. What will the narrative be? See, that is on the agenda for tonight, Joe. And I'm going to speak to this for a moment because there's been some weird narrative out there I've noticed on YouTube when it comes to the national, the upcoming national. I've seen some content basically saying there's no point in going. You're not going to get any deals. And the funny thing is that one provider in particular who I saw this from has never been to the national, has been in the hobby for about a year. How do you know what to expect of the national? I've been to 15 nationals. Through ups and downs in the hobby, I can tell you there will be deals there. There will be cash spent. It's not just going to be people looking to trade. There's a whole narrative going on. I think it stems from the Dallas show and a lot of content providers who have said that people weren't spending money. It was all trade. I've heard from a lot of people who said that there were tons of money moving around at the Dallas show. So you really got to be careful who you listen to. And if you would only go to the national because you want to find a card to buy for a dollar to sell it for $2 later, and you only understand 2020 Prism basketball, yeah, maybe don't come to the show, but don't tell other people not to. Now, this is a double-edged sword, right? Because it's going to be a zoo in there. So the fewer of those people that come, probably the better. And the people that are listening to these content providers who are telling people not to go to the national probably wouldn't have a successful show anyway, even in the best of times. So yeah, maybe don't come. I don't know, because we need room there. You're shaking your head. What do you think?
I'm like, how can you, the worst anyone can say to you is no, but you don't give someone a chance to tell you the word no, you'll never know. Like, go into the dealer and ask for a deal. Don't wait on the outside looking and guessing that you may not make a deal. It's like you're not even bringing yourself to the dance. Go dance. Go to the dance.
Some people are saying that, you know what, it's not financially worth it for me, for the travel and the hotel, the flight. I understand that. If you can't afford the travel and the flight and the hotel, then, yeah, it's not even an option for you anyway. But which is unfortunate, but that's, hey, the virtual is a great option for that, right? But the national isn't to a collector. The national isn't just about looking for deals on cards you can make money on later. I don't think it is. I'll project that out there. It's about the experience, right? It's an experience. It's the Disney World of the hobby. It's the Super Bowl of the hobby. People go to Vegas for an experience. They go to Disney World for an experience. They go to Europe for an experience. The National is an experience. If you're a hobbyist and you're serious about your hobby, the National, I recommend that you go. I recommend to every hobbyist, go to it. And to think that because the Dallas people think, one of the narratives is that sellers aren't going to sell their cards now because they want March money. They want February money for their cards. That's just not true. Dealers are smarter than that. experienced dealers are smarter than that. They didn't buy their cards in February and March. They've been buying their cards for a decade, if not longer. So they're going to be there to sell. They're not going to wait for the market to get back to where it was in February or March. They're going to sell their cards for today's prices because they understand that a card is only worth what someone will pay for it. Yeah. So if you're not going to the National because you think vendors aren't going to sell you cards because they want to get March money, you are wrong. You are dead wrong. And if you're telling other people not to go to the National because of that, unsubscribe from that channel immediately.
Jeremy, you know what? Maybe let them not come.
Well, that's the thing too. That's the other thing.
Because then we get, well, I haven't been to National yet. Full disclosure, it's on my bucket list. But if someone said that about the Expo, like, just stay home. I'll go walk in there.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I mean, it's that's the thing. I heard this rumor today. Someone in my booth was talking about it. He was saying that, and I don't believe this, but it makes somewhat sense and wouldn't be the worst strategy. What I heard was that CIA, or no, sorry.
CIA.
I don't believe this, but no, not CIA. Sorry, I'm confusing two stories. I think I heard that somebody out there was basically trying to get some low subscriber YouTube channels to encourage people not to go to the National because they want fewer of the so-called flippers to be there, really taking up room when it's going to be such a madhouse in there. So basically, you know, it discouraged people from going because it's going to be so busy, which ties into what you were just saying to me. Maybe we don't want some of those people at that show because, again, it's just going to be a madhouse. We know this is going to be a crazy show. There's going to be so many people there. And I'm not going to miss it. And I'm going to cross the border and go to it because I want the experience. I want the memories. I want the social aspect, the networking. I can't wait for this show.
The other thing is the content that's going to come out of this show. So if Dallas was any indicator of the amount of content being generated at that show, you're going to see an insane amount of content created at the National. So all those who haven't seen the National, who are missing out, you'll be able to see it in your own little way.
Yeah. 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 It's so I will be at the National setup. I will be doing some streaming to the YouTube channel from there. It's not going to be your normal Sports Cards Live episodes, but I will be set up there with like a section in the corporate area. And I'm going to basically do a couple live streams every day. That's the plan. Whether they're 15 minutes or an hour long, it depends which patrons at the show come by and want to share their experience with the audience. Let's see the cards you're picking up. What are you seeing? What's the vibe? What energy are you picking up here? Are you having fun? Anything stick out? That kind of stuff. So it's going to be fun. I'm going to do probably, you know, it's 5 days long. I'm there the whole time. I get in the night before, I leave the day after. So I'm going to be at the show the full 5 days and, you know, planning to do 2 streams a day, but we'll see. Maybe more, maybe less. No promises. Couple of comments here. Barry says LinkedIn is investing more than 5 billion. Billion? Ooh. No, into hockey. That's a lot of money. Billion. Okay. Thank you, Barry. Sam says, I tried looking around at other booths due to restriction in time, but I felt like Jeremy and Amit's booths were so easy to navigate with the link attached for cards available for sale. I think that's the formula for the virtual expo. I really think it does. Brad31 got his ticket. He will be there. Seb says, next Toronto show in November, there should be a Dropbox booth to give courses to sellers or Google Docs for sure. For sure. Chris Carter says, I love how for Jay Lee, there was a slab fest after hours bonus time. I was the first one ever, so they were still figuring it out a little bit. Rich Klein, good evening, says, I might end my day before I go to bed by continuing to hobby. That's right. The hobby is a lifestyle, everybody. It's a lifestyle. Chris Carter says his cards were $3 to $300. Amit, please.
The one thing I will say, though, is the idea that you and I came up with, do you remember the genesis of how we thought of that idea?
Remind me.
It was like a week or so before the show, and we both were on the phone, like, oh, maybe I should do a Google Drive. Oh, maybe I should do a Dropbox. We did it decided in like literally 15 seconds. So and wasn't that, like
that was because we didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Right? We were on the phone trying to think, what's the best way to set up for a virtual show? Because at one time I had a separate camera with a showcase of cards on my floor. And yeah. like that's not, because nobody knew. Even Steve and his team wasn't really sure the best way to do a card show on a virtual on a virtual platform. But like any, and we've said this from the beginning, Amit, this thing is going to evolve. It's not going to be perfect the first time. We and the patrons need to be patient, or we ask you to be patient and let it evolve. Let us figure it out. And when we find, when it clicked, we're like, oh, that's the easiest way to do it. And it worked.
It did, but it wasn't like, it didn't take us long. That's what I'm trying to say, is the simplest executions are the best ones.
Very fair. Chris Carter says, my cards are $3 to $300 plus a few more. There we go. We're getting some business over there for Chris. Colin clarifies, yes, a virtual preview. I like that idea. Steve, I know you're out there listening. If there's any way to open up the Hopin platform a weekend or two before the expo, not a bad idea. Show some cards off and maybe set up some deals in advance even. Although I'm already looking forward to the real expo being 4 days instead of three. That is my favorite news. Wow, 3-2 Islanders. Here we go.
Padres
up 7-5 to the Reds. On to the ninth. Mike says, still not sure Canadians can travel to the National. Yes, they can. And yes, I am. Colin says it will prepare the deal. I was just thinking that, Colin. It'll prepare the dealers more for the in-person expo if you're having a virtual preview a week or two in advance, probably the weekend before, I would think. Otherwise, it might be too soon. Troy says, not just deals, experience, meeting new people, contacts, friendships, in relation to going to a card show in person. Yes, 100,000,000%, Troy, you nailed it. Josh Glover says, Carvin kind of mentioned that today. He mentioned Comic-Con and most go there for the experience, not to shop or get deals. I treat Expo the same way and would for National too. Well, Josh, that's because you are an experienced collector who likes people. Not all collectors like people, and not all collectors want to collect.
That's so true, though. There are dealers, and you and I know this. There are certain dealers who are like, how they don't even like look up at you and talk to you. They don't even say hi. Like it's a, you have to have a bit of social skills and personality to be able to do a job well.
Exactly. Yeah. Steve Menzi is with us. Good evening, Steve. Ken from Pastime in BC says the National is better than a museum. You can't buy something you fall in love with or have a personal connection with. I don't know if I'm understanding that comment right there.
He's saying he's treating it like a museum. Like you can enjoy the art. You don't necessarily can afford it, but you can still enjoy it.
But if you are funded, you can buy cards of the National. And the other thing is that the National has everything. And so many of those dealers don't have anything from 2020. They don't have any Prism basketball. So, you know, if you're going there looking for Prism base silvers, yeah, you might run into some dealers who bought them in March that don't want to take a loss. They don't want to lock in that loss yet, or they're going to be smart and realize if they're not personally collecting them, that, hey, I got to move it, take what I can get and redeploy those funds into something better, make a better decision next time. Right. It's like, when you have stale inventory, you need to liquidate that inventory, turn it into money, and redeploy that money into something. Now you're experienced too. So hopefully the next time around, you'll make better decisions and not buy the super highest pop cards there are out there. Let's see. Chris says, I'm thinking of risk of catching COVID with only one vaccine. Yeah, I'll be fully vaccinated by the time I go, which is a big part of it for me and my family, for me to go to the National and cross the border for sure. Steve says, I was surprised they were still pushing ticket sales for the National in today's panel. Yeah, well, maybe it won't be a problem. Who knows how many people? It's still early. A lot of people wait till the last minute. Let's keep that in mind as well. Let's see what we have here. Past Ken did a segment on Bloomberg this morning on the show. That's really cool. Troy says, so true. Video after video of the Dallas show, National videos will be endless. That's true. Yep. There's going to be a lot of people walking around with camera crews and mic booms and all that kind of thing, right? Not this creator, though. You won't see me walking around with a mic boom and a camera crew. Lapper says, flippers are people too. We have feelings. I bought my card from Jeremy today for my PC. And goes on to say, I'm not sure how someone could just flip for money. You got to love the cards too. Flippers are people too.
Yeah, flippers. Well, they do love things. They love money.
And that, you know what? I completely agree. Flippers are people too. But there's a distinction for me between flippers who bash the hobby online lately because they did not make smart moves versus flippers who are experienced, didn't make bad moves because they have experience and they didn't just come into the hobby last June. Nothing against people that came into the hobby last June. But if you did and you spent all your money in March or February of 2020, 2021, now things might look a little bit grim for you. But what percent of people does that represent that are hobbyists? Like 1% maybe? Like if that, probably a lot less, right? Many people have been in the hobby for more than a year. I know there's a lot of people that come in the last year. And a lot of those people will be disenchanted and they will leave. But if the collecting bug, if there's no nostalgia for them, if they never connected with the hobby, then yeah, I mean, you know, I heard it on an Instagram live it was on the Luca Tigers and Bronze podcast. They had P. Ryan on. He said it really well. He said, a tree needs to be pruned in order for it to grow. And what he meant was we need to prune the I want to say this properly, but some hobbyists need to leave the hobby in order for the hobby to grow. Mm-hmm. And especially the ones that are just spreading like crappy narrative based on inexperience and personal sort of objectives, I guess. I don't know. It's very strange. Seb says, if I collect 95% hockey, should I go to the National or wait for Toronto, Montreal? Both and all, Seb, both and all. The National is truly a spectacle. I mean, I've been 80% hockey my whole life. I'm now lower, but I've been going to the National, haven't missed one since 07 or 08. So I've been to, I said 15 earlier, maybe not 15. I've been to 13 or 12, whatever it is, more than 10. And I tell you, it is awesome. It is awesome. Sanderson says to Lapper, hockey card flips. I don't know how people can just flip, but I have spoken to several in Clubhouse and they are cold-blooded about the hobby. That's true. That's true. There are those sort of people who are just looking to make money. The thing is that if you're a pure investor in the hobby, there has to be an end user for every card you have. And if the cards you have, 15,000 other people have them, and the end users already have them, that's not a good way to approach it. You're not going to do well long term with that sort of approach. Mike says, as a Canadian, fly to the National. Yes, drive not yet. May change July 21st. Yeah, we're getting an announcement then. Lapper says, I'm sure they're out there, but they are a small minority for sure. I'm flipping to buy bigger cards I want, which I think is pretty common. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, but you have to flip to get bigger cards. Each flip needs to be profitable. And yeah, in a downswing in market, it's not a successful approach. But over time, I think you will be successful if you're making good decisions and you're not just chasing the crowd all the time. So Ken says, you do not have to have a huge budget to enjoy the National, but if you do, can take the item home. You can take the item home is my point. Thank you, Ken. And Ken's been, I saw Ken set up at the National in 2019, had great stuff, but Ken's got a chain of stores in BC. So he's got a different approach than a lot of people because he does sports cards for a living and has like four card shops. So, but Ken had a great, I saw lots of action at Ken. I babysat his booth once when he had to take a bio break at the last National. What else we got here? Hey, everybody, great day to be alive. There you go. That's a nice comment and very much agree. Sam says there'll be lots of vlogs at the National for sure, and I hope there are. Lapper, I appreciate that. I don't know what it was I said, but he says there has to be nostalgia and a connection to the hobby. I think so. Rich Frank says, no, absolutely stuff against people that just came in June. Absolutely not. Nothing against people that came in June. I only have something against people that came in June who made bad decisions and now trash the hobby because they're mad at themselves. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, being in this hobby hardcore for 40 years now, well, 41 years almost, and really hardcore in terms of, you know, being an adult and having discretionary income for at least say 20, you can be successful in this hobby. You can be, even in a down market. That's, and like Chris Carter will tell you, now's the time to be buying. You know, and I'm not saying that, I want to take that back. I don't want to tell people when to buy. I do not like to tell people when to buy. But I will tell you that Warren Buffett will tell you, you buy when people are fearful and you sell when people are excited. I forget the exact wording, but you get what I'm saying, which makes good sense. Tyler says, I may have paid up in the last 6 months for a few Mays and Mantle cards, but when the prices get super low, it won't bother me much because I actually love the cards. Well, not only, yeah, but the key is the last two words. You're in it long haul. Tyler, yeah. You're in it for the long haul. Tyler, I've said it on this channel before. I bought a Mickey Mantle 51 Bowman rookie in 2007, I believe, 7 or 8. And I bought it very impulsively. And after I bought it, I looked at comps and I overpaid. I paid like $6,000. It was selling for $5,000. And I was like, oh my God, I just overpaid by $1,000. Well, I put that card away. I wasn't planning to sell it anyway. Now I'm laughing, right? I'm laughing now. If you have a long-term hold horizon for your cards, and by long-term, I'm not talking 6 months. I'm not talking a year. I'm talking like 10 plus years. As one approach, not the only one, you're going to do well if you bought a Maze or a Mantle at any time in 2021. It's like, here's a fact that my financial planner told me, and I believe him. He says, if you only invested in the stock market on 6 days in the history of the stock market, each of those 6 days being the day before a stock market crash, okay, so you're buying the day before it crashes, 6 days in history, you are still up overall, meaning you're buying the day before the crash. If those are the only days you bought, you are up. So you take a long-term view, you're going to be just fine. Islanders won 3-2. That means I'm not going to win my daily fantasy. We got Rage in the house. Good evening, Rage. We got Mosaic Mind says, is flipping still a thing in the market so far off a recent high? Yes. For sure it's a thing because not everything has come down in value in the past 3 months, but everything is up in value over the last year. Pretty much. Correct. Not everything, you know, not everything, but cards that your 1992 base cards aren't up in value, but many cards that are highly sought after are up in the last year. So yeah, flipping's been a thing in the hobby for decades. It's not a new thing.
No.
Rage worked a show in Boston today. Boy, are the prices low. Low compared to what, Rage? Compared to March or compared to a year ago? Because I'm guessing not compared to a year ago. I guarantee not compared to a year ago, and I wasn't even there. Toa says, this is a hobby and it requires passion and love in it. It can't just be about making money and making money off of people who love the hobby. That's why casual flippers won't last. It will correct. I think what you're saying is that the demographics of the hobby will correct. And that's what I think will happen. Awesome. Brad says, the first National was in 88. Many of my best friends are from the National. It's crazy. Cannot find what you're looking for. And then one or two dealers that have stuff and you find it. Yeah, that's awesome. For sure. The National is amazing. Yeah. Oh, and you're out of cash, he says, down here, for sure. Like I've said to people, I've been saying this at card shows for a few years now. When you get to a card show and you see a card you want, you got to buy it then. If you need that card and it's kind of rare. Because don't expect to come back and it'll still be there.
Do you remember at the expo, like everyone used to go nuts for that when the cash machine was out of cash? Right now you have PayPal, you have Stripe, you have all these like different ways to pay, right? You don't have to worry about the cash machine. So it's like, it's interesting how far we've come in a short amount of time.
The whole world. Hey, oh, here we go. See, it says buy the panic and sell the euphoria.
Ooh, I like that.
If you can't see, but that doesn't work for me. The second part doesn't work for me. I can't sell the euphoria because I don't buy cards thinking I'm going to sell them. Like some, if I buy a collection for my card show inventory, sure. But I'm not out there hunting cards to sell at card shows. I have inventory. I've had it for a while and I'm always buying the odd collection. But when I buy a piece for my personal collection, I'm not going to sell it in the euphoria. I'll wait a couple decades and sell and find a euphoria in my twilight years. When I spend the last 5 years of my life, if I'm lucky enough to get that old, to travel the card show circuit and sell off my collection that way. That's kind of my retirement plan. Be greedy when others are fearful and fearful when others are greedy. There it is. Another way of saying it. Very nice. Very nice.
Brian Gray said that too.
That's a Warren Buffett thing. Everyone gets it from Warren Buffett, I believe. Rage says, I did fine, was there for the enjoyment, and whatever I made was a bonus, but definitely noticed a huge difference from last week alone. So that's good. People are moving cards now. Brad says, I've always said until the list of cards I want is smaller than the list of cards I have, every downturn is welcome. A lot of people are really thriving when the market dips a little bit. All right, let's see. We said we were going to go for about an hour 15 tonight because we both have been streaming for about 9 hours today before this. So we'll go for a little bit more here. I do want to show some cards I sold. We'll hear from a little bit from what Amit sold. So I'm going to just scan, and we're not going to get to all the comments. I just want to say good evening to Charles Smith. Great to see you. Thank you for coming to the show.
Thank you.
Dave says, just liquidating in excess. Will Bennett, good old Expo semi-regular, usually the fall Expo. The hobby is never actually putting real money in my wallet personally, but it's not all about the money amount. It's about the friends, the fun, and late night meals at Zets right outside the card show in Toronto. Mosaic says, how does the shutdown of PSA and BGS affect flipping? Yeah, Mosaic, you know what? We're not going to get into that right now. That's a huge topic. But I hear you. There's definitely a conversation there as well. So, Amit, I wanted to give a couple shout outs out there, guys, to the people that did come and hang out with me at the booth. And if I didn't, I just did this before we went live, and I'm sorry if I forget anybody. So I do apologize, but I do want to shout out. Let's see who I wrote down. I got Carvin joined me before and after we did the main stage panel with Dr. Beckett and Chris McGill from Card Ladder. Bobby Burrell joined me for an extended period today. Bobby, thanks for keeping me company. Billy Stelio from Upper Deck was there. Thank you, Billy. It was great to see you. Chris Wells, my buddy from Edmonton, hung out for a while. Sam Genova from Toronto hung out for a little while. We had Josh Glover. We had John Manzella. We had Barry Ma from ComC. We had Chris Carter came and hung out for a bit. My buddy Darcy out of BC. Scott Nobles tried to join but couldn't get his audio working. Brad Hartland from Nova Scotia came out and hung out for a bit. That's everybody I have written down here. I want to thank all you guys for that. Had a great main stage session talking about sort of sustainability with, as I mentioned, Carvin, Chris, and Dr. Beckett. That was a lot of fun. Amit, why don't you show some of the cards that you moved around today?
Sure. So, like I said, I'm a hockey guy first, so I'll show some things that I moved. So I moved this Victor Hedman Future Watch Auto. So make sure that actually scans in nicely there. There you go.
Nice auto today. Yeah.
I have a friend of mine who wanted to pick up some Stanley Cup signatures. So this is a Habib Boulin, right? Really crisp leaps, 11-12 certified auto on card. And then a couple other nice ones. So let's pick a card that some people may know. Yes, everyone knows Captain Sirius.
Jonathan Toews,
right? Conn Smythe auto. That's a nice one.
So Amit's just, again, he's showing us a sample of cards that moved for him today.
Correct. So these are the cards that moved. And I'm picking this stack because this is a stack I didn't want to let go. I didn't want to let go, but then I can't have everything. So it's a nice on-card of Brett Hull.
That's nice.
This is from a Stanley Cup set. And this is a couple other cards I'll show you from there. Some things that people appreciate. So, since the Isles won today? Did the Isles win today?
They did.
So a little Dennis Potvin Stanley Cup auto.
Were those all to Josh?
Those are all to Josh.
He told me about those off you.
So I figured I was just going to pull ones that are nicer that can actually show up on screen, right? So I didn't want to like take up too much of your time. And then I'll show you one last one. This is a Pittsburgh Penguin, Brian Trottier. Just in case some people who aren't familiar with hockey can get used to some of the names on here. See? So those are some of the cards I moved to our very good friend Josh. And thank you, Josh. I'm glad they'll never go anywhere. But I can't believe I had like 75% of that set, and then I let it go. You can't keep everything. You can't keep everything.
No, you cannot. No, you cannot. Mosaic Mind says, sorry if I'm harping on flipping. That phenomena got me back in the hobby, but now the bubble is deflated. Well, adapt, Mosaic. Adapt, and you will be fine. Remember, it's all about the cards anyway. And unless it's not for you, then. Maybe it's not. Maybe the hobby isn't for you anymore. And I'd hate to see you go because you're around here a lot. You seem like a great guy. or girl. Love to keep you see you stick around. Love to see you stick around. Rage is going to try to make his first national.
You know your shirt says flipped. You do know that, right?
Yeah, flip your next card and come see. You're kind of ironic, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to give Barry, who I know is watching tonight, wanted to wear a Com C shirt to support Barry. Good evening, Steve, sir. That's Edda's dad. Good evening, Steve, sir. Great to have you, Sam, as always. Lapper says those Stanley Cup signatures are great. I just found them recently. You're not harping. Everything you said is spot on. Toa says, I'm high risk, so I haven't made a card show in months. Definitely miss it. Hope Taves is able to play next year for sure. For sure. Footloose Ottawa says, can't wait till the Expo is devirtualized in the fall. We cannot wait either. Rage says, yeah, I never flip just singles. I open any box, find what I want, blah, blah. Yeah, people are ruthless. That's for sure. Josh says, I'm glad you let that go. They'll be in my Stanley Cup binder forever. Good evening, Collection SML. Charles Smith likes those. Everyone loves those cards you bought, Josh. Everyone loves those cards. Yeah, Jeremy wearing a flip shirt. How funny is that, hey? Bye-bye, flippers. Flip. No, this is a shirt that Barry from ComC sent me a while ago.
Yep, Barry, who's on here as well.
And they were, you know, they were supporting the Expo as they always do. So I'm just trying to stay supporting the Expo as this is the Expo recap. So I'm going to show some deals that I did, give you guys an idea of the kind of cards that I was moving today. I'll show you first. This was a good one. This is a Artemi Panarin Cup RPA out of 99, four color. That card was moved. Put back on the gentleman's name who purchased that. This was a fun one. Kind of a mix here. We got a PSA 7 Alex Delvecchio rookie card, along with a Rick Middleton PSA 9 1974 Opeachy, and a Glenn Anderson PSA 9. Those three all going to the same buyer, as well as this card here. And this card has been depaneled with scissors, not even perforated, with scissors. But that's how I picked that card up, and that card has found a new home. All those three going to the same person. Here's a really cool card. This is Lapper. I'm showing the card you bought because I'm going to miss this one. These rubies are awesome. This is a Alexander Barkov Skybox Premium Star Rubies rookie out of 50 and a PSA 10 holder. Awesome, awesome card. Going to miss that one for sure. These two went to somebody in the chat right now, a Dale Hawerchuk PSA 9 and a Marty McSorley PSA 10. If he wants to identify himself, I will let him. And this was a fun sale too. I had all these cards PSA DNA'd myself. These are all autographed rookies. We have the Shanahan, the Joe Mullen, the Grant Fuhr, the Denny Savard, and the Mike Gartner. Gentleman also bought the PSA 10 Joe Mullen rookie. And this Gordie Howe President's Choice jersey auto that I decided to let go after buying those directly from Dr. Brian Price. Also sold this to somebody who may be in the chat, Connor McDavid, Yellow Taxi from Allure. And another gentleman might be in the chat, a nice 0708 Cup Base Patch Parallel, one of my favorite cards, but I have another copy of this. It's Jason Spezza, who's getting hobby love now again. These two cards, again, went to somebody who was in the chat earlier. We have a Carey Price SP Game Used, a three color, but just a little bit of blue up in the corner, and a Patrick Waugh Shadow Box. Nice little sale there. This went to my buddy John, a really cool Timo Solani Ultimate patch card out of 10. So this is you know, all hockey, and I did have baseball for sale. Sold these two early on in the show, a BGS 95 Marty Brodeur and a Peter Bondra. And then final deal. These three all went to the same gentleman also in the chat. Pavel Bure, Fire on Ice. I love this card. Sidney Crosby, another card that I have two of. And this beautiful Patrick Kane SP Authentic Limited Auto Patch, number 225. Those were... Oh, and then the last deal was these three with Chris Carter, who mentioned earlier. We have an Alex Ovechkin Opeachy Platinum, numbered 1 of 100. We have a Sidney Crosby. This is the SP Game Used, numbered 1 of 157. And finally, a Nathan MacKinnon Premier Base Card, jersey numbered 29 of 249. So there you go. those are the cards that I moved today. And that was quite a bit, more than I expected. Whoa, Mamit, say something. Give my voice a break.
Yeah, same here. These are examples of some of the cards I sold. Many more that I can mention that two probably won't interest all the viewers here, but definitely a lot of hockey. My boothmate Kent sold a lot of baseball, Actually, I sold a lot of basketball last night. So didn't move all four sports. I say all three sports that I have. I even have some wrestling. Actually, no, I did wrestling a sport. I'll just consider it for today. I'll consider it a sport. Sold some wrestling cards, so a little bit of everything today. It was actually a pretty good mix, and I'll have a whole lot of that more tomorrow. So please come by and buy me out.
Buy him out. Go buy cards from Amit tomorrow, guys. Buy some cards from Amit. Okay, I'm going to run through the comments here, dude, and I think I'm just looking at my notes here. We talked about the booth. We talked about the deals. We talked about Slab Fest. Talked about the Sports Cars Live episode we did during the show today. Mm-hmm. Talked about the National, the Hobby Narrative. I want you to plug your show and your channel on YouTube before we head out here tonight. So I'm going to run through the final comments here, Amit. Then you're going to talk about your show, guys. It's streaming right now on the ticker. Amit has his own show on YouTube called Cardboard Culture with his partner Kent. They do a great job. They bring on a very diverse a very diverse range of guests. And they ask everyone the same question at the end, but I'm not going to spoil it and let you know what it is. You got to tune into his show to find out what the same question that they ask everybody. I was on episode 10, I believe. How many episodes have you had so far?
21 now. And like you said, we pick up on a diverse and, you know, inclusivity aspect of the hobby rather than the financial kind of aspect of it. Because we're talking to collectors. Why do they collect? Why are they passionate about collecting, and how are they spreading their hobby love and hobby wing across many diverse communities and cultures? We've had people from like Name Cardinal on there. We had Peter Pac-Man. Some of you guys are on Instagram. We've had this guy. No, sorry. This guy. Where's my finger? There. This guy. And we really get into, you know, the human aspect of the hobby. So it's been 21 shows. It's been amazing. We've had Panini on there, Upper Deck on there. It's just been fun. It's been a wild ride. Brian
Price from In the Game and President's Choice. I love that episode. Yeah. It's been, I love, you had the guy, the Lego collector on that. Yeah. I love that episode. You've done great. Okay. Let's, and guys, give them a subscribe. Let's build up their subscribership on Cardboard Culture. Okay, I'm going to just run through some Rich Frank says, when I flip on ComC, I look at it like making a trade. See that? Yeah. I love that comment because that's how I look at every sale I do. It's every sale I do is a three-way trade. That's why when I get a little frustrated sometimes when I see somebody and they say, I only trade. You won't sell? No, I only trade. Well, how about this? I'll trade you my cash for your cards, and you go trade my cash for cards that you want from somebody else. It's a three-way trade that way. Anyway. Not everybody sees it that way, and that's fine too. Mikey, who event staff at the show, thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow, buddy, definitely. James G., if you're wondering prices for what I sold for, I just don't want to disclose that. No. Yeah, but I appreciate it. Come check out the cards tomorrow. I'll have many more for sale. Chris Carter says, Amit, the offers are now sent. Jason Orv says, hey, guys, fun. Yeah, great. Thanks for popping in today, Orv. Lapper bought my Pop One Barkov. Yeah, man, you're gonna love that card. I love it, Aaron. Like, I when you wanted to buy it, I was kind of like, but you know what? I gotta move some cards, so it's okay. Rage says Sanderson, well, late into the 80s, 90s vintage, 90s metal. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna read that all right now. Colin Murray's booth is Vintage Hockey HC Exchange. Check it out. Josh says, my wife's not watching. I can admit I bought the Howard Chuck and McSorley. Eric says, hi to the Gordy. Thank you, Rage. Charles Smith, I picked up the auto rookie. So excited. There you go. Love the game news. That Paul Cashman bought the yellow taxi off me. The McDavid. Oh, boy. Lots of comments still. What year was the first true hockey card? Really, it's the 1910 C56s, but there are some hockey-themed cards from like 1888 Pacific and something I can't remember. But player cards, like with names on them, I believe it's 1910. I don't think there's anything before that.
Where's Bobby Burrell? Bobby Burrell, if you're watching, please advise.
Let us know. Yeah, Rage says the tobacco style. Yeah, they had the 1910, 1911, and 1912 sets. I guess some people are watching KD. Hit it. Kevin Durant, what a shot. Adventures. I'm down to the last. Yeah, Paul's working on the McDavid Rainbow from Allure. Rage has been on a major hockey kick. Way to go. Way to go. All right, guys. What's this? Darcy says, hey, you guys, excellent setups for the virtual expo. You guys are like card experts. Thanks, Darcy.
Thanks, Darcy.
Thank you, sir. People in the U.S. just don't get hockey. They're slow, and hockey is a fast game. But basketball is pretty fast, too. You know?
Yeah. Kind of,
for sure. For sure. Okay. I don't want to leave anybody out here, so I'm going to just scan for any comments towards the end. Oh, Ryan O'Hara. That was you, the Bother Bro during the Bondra. Sam says, hopefully I can come and see you both tomorrow at some point during the expo. Take care, Sam. Great to see you. Steve
for sure.
Says, thank you, Colin, all the collectors and dealers who supported the virtual expo today. Hope to see you all there tomorrow. Yes. Hope to see everybody tomorrow again at the virtual expo, guys. Next Friday on Sports Cards Live, I will be doing I think it's the 5th, February, March, April, May, June, the 5th installment of the PWCC eBay auction ending watch parties for hockey cards. That will be next Friday. We'll go from 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 8 till 10 or so my time. So the usual time. Watch for it. I'll post it. And then Saturday is going to be the guest on Sports Cards Live is Josh Luber. Josh is the founder of StockX, a big company. He's a hobbyist. He's starting up something new in the hobby space. And I'm just going to find it to confirm on After Hours next Saturday, none other than my good friend, Ben Carlos, who, if you don't know Ben Carlos and his YouTube channel, check it out. So this next Friday, Saturday is going to be a lot of fun on Sports Cards Live, guys. Come and join us. Going to do the final comments here. Bobby, the earliest cards are basically trade cards. So C56 would be the first official. Okay. No After Hours tonight. Mosaic, been streaming for like 12 hours today, but
we can't do anymore.
Come see us at the show, Mosaic. Thanks, Lapper. Come see us at the show again tomorrow if you got some time. Rage, we'll see you next weekend. Ryan, found a couple cards from Amit that I'd like. I'll come chat tomorrow. There you go. Okay, that's the end of the comments, guys. Thanks, everybody, for joining. Hope to see you all at the virtual Sport Card Expo tomorrow. And if not, we'll see you next week on Sports Cards Live. Signing off. Good night, Rage.
Cheers, all.